Yep. That just ended abruptly. I was trying to do something before the intro started, and it didn't work out. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr. And joined to be a little bit more composed than myself is a grizzled veteran, Matt Myers. How are you doing, sir?
Don't you put that more composed, you know, nonsense on me. I'm ready to be unhinged.
Are you ready to be maxi level of a hinged, or more the Audi, the dribble up to the final third out of nowhere unhinged?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I've seen enough to be able to walk back the whole "can anybody be more unhinged than maxi level unhinged" yet. So I guess we'll go option two.
There you go. All right, cool. And also joining us is Chandler O'Dwyer's personal agent, the hype beast machine, the woman who correctly predicted that Chandler O'Dwyer would be in the go-to boot race, is Kate. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Voice is definitely not doing as well after tomorrow, but yesterday, it was great to see some goals scored in the section O end for once. I was up in the press box during the Open Cup win against Maryland Bobcats, so this was my home opener, and it was nice to get a resounding win for that.
Well, yeah, what does the Oracle of Kate know about what's going down tomorrow? Because you've seen some things that nobody thought would be seen. So you got a little inside info for us now.
Unfortunately, I could not care less about men's sports outside of soccer. So y'all are on your own.
Something else. Is there something weird happening with the eclipse? I don't know.
Maybe the apocalypse, possibly. But that could also be brought on by the Richmond Kickers getting a positive result for the first time in far longer than any of us would like to admit.
Whoa. No. Hold on. Not a Patra. Two positive results.
Two. How long has it been, Elliot?
So let me go through the numbers. So it has been since July 8th that the Kickers have got a whole victory. It has been since September 14th, 2022, that the Kickers have back-to-back victories. It's been a while. We've heard about it from announcers. Grumpy Darren has brought it up to us multiple times. It is a pre- and post-game cover. I know he's excited to have this monkey off his back, and also the team. Before we dive into the game, the overall vibes of it, it felt good. It felt good to have. Yeah, we won in the U.S. Open Cup, and that's cool. That's great. But to get this off our back, to win in the league, it feels good.
Yeah, I mean, winning. I mean, obviously winning, obviously better than not winning, yeah. Right? But just the fact that being able to go in there and feels like the proverbial weight off the shoulders. And I don't think it's just the players too. I think it's in the crowd as well. Yeah, because there's that dark cloud kind of hanging over everything, we'll talk about it more later. Team goes ahead, gives up a goal, and then goes behind, and there's that tenor of, oh boy, here we go again sort of thing. So hopefully this will kind of erase all of those, inner demons, that we've all, had and been carrying, and brighter days ahead. Tal says it's resurrection week.
Yeah.
Right? And it definitely felt good against Fuego as well, since that was the final game of the 2023 season, and it was that horrible, heartbreaking 5-4 loss at home. And it definitely, against this team in particular, nice to get a win that lasted through the final whistle. There was some chanting long way. You came a long way just to lose with about 8 minutes left, right when stoppage started. And a couple of us looked at each other like, have we been watching the same kickers for the past year and a half? Are we really?
Ellie started losing his mind when that chant started up.
Oh my God. That and what was the other one? The what's the one that always freaks me out? The Keys one, something about like, was it a long you came to lose? It's like two of them that freaks me out. Mm-hmm. Anytime we have a close game, I can't remember another one. But yeah, no, I hate those chants. Don't sing those when there's one like, no, don't do those.
We've seen too many things to feel confident, especially against Fuego. Fuego is not a team that we didn't play well against anybody last season, but Fuego in particular, definitely some particular.
I don't know why we're worried that, you know, they're the dummies who didn't, you know, re-sign, you know, noted kicker killer Victor Falk. Homie wasn't out there. Bad man couldn't hurt us no more.
Yeah, pretty much we took it over. This game was – you guys are right to say it. Like, it has kind of the same vibe of last year's game where it felt like a basketball game, back and forth. Both teams were – I don't know. It didn't feel like both teams were afraid of the ball. Like, they both wanted to be in ball control. Kickers had their moments. Fuego had their moments. When Fuego went up 2-1, you kind of had to feel like, all right, we can probably get one more back, but that'd probably be it. Like, it'd be a draw. Like, all right, cool. You know, it sucks, but at least we get points to start the season. Honestly, I will say this. Like, the mentality of this team, I'm really impressed with because of the fact of they quick strike very quickly. They wasted no time to get back into the game and then go ahead and go get the winner. And when things go against you for a certain amount of time, eventually they have to go in your favor. And they went in our favor tonight. I mean, last night. So happy pod. Two times in a row.
Yeah, I think one of the key things there was, again, the quick response, but the instant impact, you know, went down 2-1. Darren instantly, you know, put on Sierkowski, you know, and put on Joao.
Yeah.
You're right. And you know, they weren't technically on the score sheet for, you know, that first goal, but, you know, it's hard to say, you know, there wasn't some level of impact made when two attacking subs come in and 2 minutes later, you know, you get an equalizer.
Yeah. And I know we're also talking about the Maryland Bobcats game, but this is the second game in a row that he's bought and he's brought in Sierkowski as a striker. So that's no sort of the winger spot because the guy who was playing in his spot in the last 180 minutes has 3 goals. Mr. Chandler Dwyer, Kate, I'm going to give you the floor so you can talk about the new age David Beckham.
Yes, we love Mr. O'Dwyer on this podcast. I did a little digging, looked at his record from last season. So, interestingly, both his goals from last season also came against Fuego.
Hey, this is how I know we are friends because I was about to drop that same stat.
So, he has this team's number. Chandler O'Dwyer has said CV Fuego's number. So, he has 5 career goals and 4 of them are against CV Fuego for the kicker. Yeah. So, we're going to blow that out of proportion. We're going to say, actually, no, this is not a statistical anomaly against this team, and we are going to transpose it to the rest of the season that he's going to continue scoring at this rate because he has started 3 games out of the 5 they've played, started 3. 2 of those starts have been at winger, and we've had 3 goals come from that. So I'm liking what I'm seeing. His goals in 2023, he was playing as a center back, but I think it did indicate that it's a bit of a fox in the box. You get the ball at the right position, he's there to crash. He's there to get it in the back of the net, which is something we were sorely missing from all of our attacking players last season. So it's good to see that when you put him in a more attacking position, that instinct is still there. And in fact, he's there to possibly put the ball away at an even higher rate than he was given the opportunity to last season. So I think we can confidently predict he will win the Golden Boot this season. And I am very sure I'm not going to be wrong at the end of the season.
Yeah. I mean, Trent's lines are, you know, telling us that if he starts at next week, Henny Hattie, you know, producer's gone from 1 to 2 to 3.
Hey, I'm
just saying, math doesn't lie.
If that man scores a hat trick in the derby, Chandler, whatever you want, dog, I'll buy it for you. Like, whatever foods you want, I'll buy it for you. Mm-hmm. Look.
But Chandler, you're saying that
I will buy his grocery for a week.
Tifo of his face stretched across the entire city stadium.
Yeah.
We will spend.
Groceries if he scores a hattie. But overall, Chandler's last two games, they've been very impressive. The goal scoring, play on the left wing. We saw it when we saw the lines. I think in both games, we kind of all had the same reaction, like, this can't be right. Like, they have to mix this up. No, he really was playing on the left wing. Overall thoughts on him out on the wing versus where we've seen him at before, his center back and CDO. He said he wants to be a holding man, but maybe he's a winger.
It's confusing for me because, like, obviously, at the end of the day, output is what matters, and he's producing, right? So, yeah, you can have all the other stuff in the world. Yeah, and we've seen a lot of the other stuff in the world, you know, lately that didn't have the end result. He is having the end result, so end of the day, I don't really care how it happens. But he's almost like he's being an attacking defensive winger because he doesn't.
He's made a whole new position.
I've been trying to figure out how to describe it because, like, his skill sets, you know, that he brings, you know, to the table, they're not a traditional winger skill set, right? Like, he's not, you know, hugging the line, whipping crosses, breaking behind defenses, anything like that. It's not easier. He's high pressing, you know, really being more, you know, kind of a, like, defensive winger in that regard, and, you know, helping to be able to, you know, bust stuff up that way. That's, you know, in part how, you know, first couple goals happened against Maryland. I feel like you got to throw the attacking word on there if he's put in 3 and 2 games, right? You know, so attacking defensive winger, and it's at least working so far. And I think it works okay right now because you have the counterbalance on the other side with Adrian, you know, who is, you know, more of a traditional attacking player.
Yeah.
He might also be benefiting from the fact that he's not carrying the weight of expected goals. We're not necessarily expecting him to be carrying our goal scoring output. So he doesn't have maybe the pressure the other players might be feeling to score goals, because again, a lot of the other goals are coming from Adrian, who's a new player, who is not carrying the weight from last season of the sort of continually missing big chances or not, you know, producing quality opportunities in the box. So they might be playing with a little bit less pressure to produce, which means they're not overthinking when they're getting in those good positions, playing a little bit more instinctually, and not having as much sort of on their mind. So Chandler, we're not trying to put pressure on you because you don't need the pressure. You're going to win the golden boot anyway. But I think that there can be a benefit from not carrying the weight of expecting all the goals to be coming from you. That allows you to sort of play with a bit more freedom without overthinking as much.
Yeah, and another player who pretty much I was saying impressed really well, and I think Darren is justified as having his stock in the kids, is Griffin Garnett. He's one of our own, like I was seeing last night. Despite having the error, which we could discuss about and talk about here, thoughts on his overall game so far in this game? Look sturdy, look very solid going against grown men again.
Yeah, I thought he looked so composed for a 17-year-old kid. His first touch is impressive. And Dakota said in the post-game presser after the Open Cup that he feels like playing with Griffin is playing with a younger version of himself. And I do think you can see a lot of similarities in their game. But the fact that, you know, someone this established in his career is seeing the potential for a similar arc in a 17-year-old kid, I think, speaks volumes for his maturity and his composure, which is, I don't think you can teach that. I think that you can teach a lot of skills, but presence of mind is really hard to teach. And he's sort of getting a baptism by fire here, getting thrown straight into the first team. So the fact that, you know, he's been able to keep his head as well as he has in the high pressure situations he's been in, I think speaks much more highly than even the skills that he's producing.
Yeah, well, what an absolute, like, baller statement by Dak there, though. You could ask clearly a question about, hey, talk about how great this guy's doing. Yeah, he reminds me of me. It's like, all right, confidence, man. Confidence, like it. No, I thought he performed well. I mean, I remember we were at the preseason games. We were just like, who's the skinny guy, you know, out there? It doesn't look bad or anything. He just looks like a twig. That hasn't changed yet. You know, hit the weight room.
I'll be very concerned if all of a sudden, like, we see him at the next game and he's like steroid out, like bulked out, like have to look at that.
What's going in the sponsored salads?
You're 17. You can pack on some bulk fast at that age. Yeah, I think for the most part, I think he's been good. I mean, the caveat there is the most part, you know, part of it in the last two league games, like two pretty critical, you know, errors there. So it kind of goes back to, I think, what, you know, Darren was talking about, you know, before with the sometimes what might be good for some of the young guys is to not play 90 every game. And I think once some of the, you know, injured guys, you know, come back, whether that's Ani, you know, Franca, you know, whoever, yeah, give them, you know, a game or, you know, two off, you know, to be able to watch as well and not just, you know, play, because, you know, if you're watching closely, you could be able to see the Fuego guys, you know, they were pressing only on him. You know, when the ball got to him, they were pouncing, you know, hard. So I think teams will keep, you know, trying to pick on him because, you know, he still is, you know, a young player. It's a lot of, you know, hadn't seen all the different things that, you know, Dak has seen or Maxi, you know, has seen. And, you know, mistakes will probably come with that. So, you know, being able to pick some spots for him and, you know, ease him into some more of these situations. But, yeah, big picture, doing well. But obviously, you know, you run some risks with having 17-year-old central defender sometimes. And, you know, we're on the wrong side of that on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely about that. I think when the guys that are injured come back, it'll be a good time to give them like maybe a 2-3 game rest. But definitely having them a part of the 18 is something I would like to see going forward. And I know Darren listens to this because he lets it know. Darren, whatever you need to do to convince him to be a pro, do it. Like, have him sign. He's looking very impressive.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that continues at speed, like based on what you just said, Matt, you know, he's made some mistakes already, but I don't think it's affected his overall game. Like, he's continued to come into each game with a blank slate. Mm-hmm. Speaking to his mindset, he's made those mistakes. You know, he's still a kid, but the fact that he's not sort of like then his play just completely breaks down after that, and you know, it sort of defines the rest of the match. For him, I think also, again, yeah, speaks volumes to the sort of mindset and also how well he's being supported by his goalkeeper, the rest of the back line, and they're not sort of letting him shoulder the blame.
And you can see the guys still, you know, trust him. Like, they didn't, you know, pass around him or, you know, kind of, you know, freeze him out of, you know, possession after, you know, that happened. They were still playing through him, still, you know, giving the ball, you know, when they needed to. And so that's a good sign.
Yeah, no, that is a positive sign though. Like you were saying, Kate, the fact that he didn't have like a sliding hill moment afterwards, because it would have been very easy, man. You know, you make that mistake there, it's 1-1. Fuego, I think it's very fair to say, wasn't involved in the game unless we gave them a shot. It had the same feeling as the Tormenta game. Like, if we don't create their opportunities for them, they're not going to create. And you see that he kind of even surpassed that moment. I think he had another big header in the second half. It was really, really good to see. Sticking on the defensive part, though, I want to talk about Pablo Jara. I had to make sure I could do that because that Jara. Learn that out.
It feels wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Because when I look at, I swear, I've only heard, I'm going to mess it up now, Jara, but it's Jara. So I've got to remember that. Back there, the goalkeeper. Now, like we've talked about before, he's an aggressive goalkeeper. He comes out of his line, and with that, you know, you get the sweeper keeper stuff, right? I think so far this year, he's done 3 actions so far as a sweeper keeper. But with that, you also get the flip side of loose balls of possession, a little bit of craziness in play. Thoughts on his game, the last two games overall, and what you guys think about it?
It's been fine. Like I think depending on your perspective, you put a little bit of that, what's called the first goal, on him, because, okay, maybe he's not playing so high. And I saw some people describe it as a hospital ball over to Griff. I don't know if I totally, buy that. But, clearly once he gets taken out of possession, Pablo's out of the picture entirely at that point. But I think that's, more of a design, element of possession rather than him just freelancing and deciding to do that on his own. But I think he's been fine. Like, I'm not really thinking of any moments where he's been able to, bail out the team yet, and for better or for worse, with anything. So, but I also, I still put that first one in Spokane on him. But, other than that, it's hard to say any of the goals are really his fault either.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah.
I would say I haven't seen him. He hasn't been the story in any of the games, which I think
that's probably the more positive way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, so maybe there are some moments he could have done better. You can say that about pretty much any goalkeeper, but on the whole, I'm satisfied that he has not been the story yet. I would prefer our goalkeeping to not have to be the story in any way. Definitely. I think I'm going to need to see more I need a larger sample size. I also missed the Tormenta match where there was a critical mass of goals conceded. It's been rather low scoring affairs in terms of goals conceded for kickers in the matches that I've seen. So I think I need a bit larger of a sample size with how he works with this system and this back line before I come down one way or another.
Yeah, because I would disagree with a little bit of that, because every game against guys who actually get paid, we've given up two goals. That's not great.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's two or more.
Yeah, this defense has not kept a clean sheet yet. Well, let me phrase it. They have kept one clean sheet, but like you said, against paid professionals, they have. I know that kind of feels like moving the goalposts, but those clean sheets will be something needed very quickly. I think overall,
kept a one sheet either.
Yeah, that's true. I think it would just be good for the defense, because the defense probably has been the most impacted part of this team with the lack of, players they can sub in and out due to injuries. You got Chris Cole, but, we haven't seen the heights of this team yet either with Audi back there, Gee back there as well, to see how, because that was a normal, I'm assuming, original starting center back pair, and to have Dak and Griffin back there. I mean, they've been great. No discredit to them, but you want to see your star centers back there, and hopefully that can produce a clean sheet. The only notch I have on Pablo, and I asked Aaron about this, was just the distribution. Sometimes it could get a little rotten. It was a lot better in this match from what I saw. But there are still moments where he kind of kicks the ball out there to the weeds. You're like, oh, I don't know if that's going to make it there. But, it's hard to live up to the Akira levels of distribution, how he was. He put on the dime for anybody. There's a lot of goals to break down as well in this game. I know that was a bad transition, but whatever. There's a lot of goals to break down between this game and the U.S. Open Cup game. So, overall, let's talk about the theme of the goals for the kickers that they scored. We saw, I would say, a good mixture of goals. We saw quick transition goals, second chance goals, things like that. To me, it feels like a positive sign that we're seeing the kickers being able to score their opportunities, given how the first couple of weeks went, where they were struggling to finish in front of the net. 8 goals in the last 2 games, granted the opposition, it's still positive to see, all the attacking.
Yeah, definitely. I still think that the bread and butter for this attack is set piece based. I think there's still room to grow on that kind of you know, open play attacking. You know, again, I think Zhao coming back is going to, you know, make a big impact with that, because it doesn't have to be all Neil all the time on the creator side, you know, things then. But, you know, you look through, you know, the goals, you know, this week, penalty, you know, freak, you know, freak, you know, pressing, you know, related goal, free kick, you know, headed in. I'm trying to remember what the order was, you know, the last one. One of them was a, you know, breakaway tap in, and the other one was just like bouncing around the box against Maryland, you know, yesterday, you know, a throw in, you know, designed, you know, play that you got stopped, Kate, a flighted Simon cross, you know, for a goal. And the last two, good open play, you know, stuff. So I was glad to see that those last two, not just because it was nice to see, you know, the goals we needed for the win, but, you know, being able to see, you know, the goals come about, you know, kind of through, you know, the natural flow of play, and, you know, not, you know, just having to rely on very strong set piece play.
Yeah, no, that is true. It's good to see this team be able to create goals on the quick counterattack, like be direct, something that we didn't see a lot of last year. Like last year, I felt like four of these goals in the last two games wouldn't have happened because I felt like they would have slowed the ball up. This year, it was like, no, go, like, go. And I'm going to use this moment to talk about the I know Banana's going to love this, but the Neil Villos and Aiden Bilhart connection is growing. And it's growing in a great way. Yeah, I love that connection between the two. Matter of fact, let's talk about that connection. Like, why is that partnership working so well? Like, between those two players?
I think mindset could be part of it. I think I'm probably hyping on this too much, but Bilhart sort of coming in without any expectations, and Neil coming off in a pretty strong individual season means that both of them are, I would imagine, at playing with pretty high confidence at the moment. And when you have two players who are connecting well, both playing confidently, both willing to take players on, I think the more confident you are, the higher likelihood to play a higher risk play because you believe it might actually work out. And this game is all about risk, and we did not see a lot of risk from this team. Last season, they kept trying to walk the ball into the net and never walked the ball into the net. So seeing two players who are actually able to play riskier passes, take the riskier touch, take a player on one-on-one, I think it's nice to see players playing with confidence and with belief that when they, you know, make a positive move forward, it actually is going to work out.
Yeah, no, for real. It is. Matt, anything you want to add to that, my friend?
I think they just complement each other, you know, quite well. You know, their styles, like they both like the ball at their feet. I think they're both, you know, natural, you know, dribble first, you know, kind of guys, but like to look for the, you know, kind of quick connections. I mean, you see, you know, when Adrian gets the ball out on the wing, like, he's not a get the ball and, you know, go vertical, you know, with it. He's, you know, might go a little bit horizontal and vertical, you know, together at the same time. But more often than not, he wants, you know, a couple, you know, quick touches and you'll be able to, you know, move it along. And I think that works well, you know, with Neil's style, where they can be able to, you know, play 1-2s off each other. You know, potentially, I think, you know, again, you know, Joao coming back, you can kind of add that and make that a little bit more of a triumvirate, you know, through there, with, you know, complementary play styles. You know, and other guys like, you know, Zaka, Vaughn, some of those guys, you know, they have other, you know, roles in the midfield where, you know, they bring other stuff, but they don't necessarily bring that in there.
Yeah. No, I can't wait till Emmy gets finally healthy so we can see the trifecta of him, Adrian, and Neil all together, man. It's going to be nasty. And I'm pretty sure Darren is taking away of having those three, like, rotate in a certain spot, so you might see like Neil as a center forward or Emmy as attacking man or whatever between those three. But I can't wait. We need Emmy to get healthy fast, quick.
And what was interesting is we actually had less possession this match than
that is true.
Well, look at that, we didn't dominate possession and we won a game.
Nah, for real, let's be like, That is true. Like, when I went to go look at the stats last night, like, I did look at double take, and I was like, how's that? We had less possession. And to be honest with you, like, it seemed like Fuego's main thing was the way how they were building up. So, by the way, also, bringing your dog to a soccer game is a lot more work than I ever thought it would be. Like, it is dog. My dog had, like, the zoomies, and she was, like, crackhead energy. Like, it was wild. But so I was – where the dog section was, you can look directly at the field, like, north and south. And it was interesting because you can see how each team was building up. So, like, for instance, it was simply get the ball out into the wings, and if it don't work there, then recycle. Like, just keep recycling it, right? So that's, like, the bulk of what their possession was. And they didn't try to play the ball in the middle. It was, all right, if we can't, they'll recycle it twice. And if it don't work, play it long. And then Richmond was a little bit different. Where Richmond was, it was try to build it out to the wings. But if that worked, then go centrally with it. You know, don't go long ball. So it was just interesting to see how that. But I say that to say that Richmond seemed comfortable. Like, all right, cool. You want the ball? That's fine. Like, we're going to have you play on the outside of us. We're going to keep numbers tight. You're not going to be able to break us down. And if you are going to beat us, it's going to be outside of the wing. Now, this is how the second goal happened for Fuego. But you're going to have to beat us on the wing with, a great first touch, you know. But, I mean, outside of that, like, Richmond looked fairly comfortable, like, sitting in a low block, putting numbers behind the ball, and then breaking out at – pace and getting a couple of goals.
And I think last season playing a possession-based style opened especially the back line up to a lot of pressure because teams would just advance their press further and further up the field, and because the ball was moving so slowly, the press was never played through. It invited so much pressure onto the back line, and so many goals were conceded because of what's the word I'm looking for? Press was coordinated and that's the word I'm looking for, a disciplined press. And it's frustrating because it's a simple strategy. At this level, you know, these players are not Kevin De Bruyne. Like, first touches, a lot of players are going to be able to be disrupted with an effective press. And it's nice to see Richmond turning the tables a little bit and applying that press onto another team and actually turning over and creating some of those goals ourselves this season. Because it was very frustrating to watch our defense just get pushed further and further and further back up the field and then giving up a cheap throw in, a cheap goal kick that led to the other team scoring, or just a cheap giveaway in the midfield that was immediately put into the goal. So it's an effective strategy, unfortunately, that pressing the ball leads to good results at the expense of a possession-based system. So I guess it remains to be seen how much we'll see that over the course of the season from Richmond. But there's a tactical aspect to letting the other team have the ball and applying a disciplined press, because at this level, it produces results.
Yeah. I gotta give credit where credit is due to Darren. It's nice to see that he's set this team on. That bit is Richard. I know Darren. If he had his choice, he has a style that he would like, but to be flexible in that moment and just be like, all right, cool, look, let them have the ball, let's set up how we set up it. Where there's opportunity for us to press and force them to make the mistake, let's do it. Let's force them into mistake instead of having it happen to us. I think these kind of moments will help build you down the road. Overall, I mean, if we put a nice bonus, it's great to have a happy podcast because God knows we haven't had one in a long time. But I think a positive way how to put a spin on this is that this team overcame some adversity, right? And like having those mental victories, you know, because you're going to count on these moments throughout the season is huge. You know, it's rightfully huge. Also having a great Open Cup win as well, the 5-2 win over Maryland Bobcats. A game that, you can see the quality difference. There were some players out there from Maryland Bobcats. You're like, okay, they could possibly play in League One. Like Darwin Espinosa, he could play in League One. Like if there was a way for us to, you know, get him on loan, have him play the left wing spot, I wouldn't be mad at it.
It'd be a great Chandler backup.
There you go. Be a great Chandler backup. There you go. But yeah, so we know who we're playing in the US Open Cup. That's when the 16th, 17th, I believe. Yeah, so we know we're playing on the 17th, 7 p.m. Another DMV Classico in Loudoun United. Should be fun. It seems like we're going on this mini DMV Cup tournament because, you know, we got B Crystals, we got Maryland, now we got Loudoun, we got Long Lions Bridge in the summer. We could be the true DMV Classico winners. DC United doesn't count because they're ducking the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, Kings of the Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, so there you go. We're looking to do that. Any other thoughts on this game as a whole? Like, what are you guys, any lasting impressions, short-term, long-term, from this game?
The Open Cup game?
Yeah, we can do Open Cup. Well, both games overall.
Yeah, I mean, obviously 8 goals in 2 games, good. You know, right? So being able to, you know, find something that's, you know, working, building the confidence, see, you know, just seeing the ball go in the net, you know, repeatedly, it can only be a good thing. I've really liked, you know, the Sierkowski, you know, at center forward. You look to it, I think he looks more comfortable and more natural there. I mean, he had a goal. If he had missed that goal against Maryland, that would be, you know, bad. But he finished his 1-0 with the, you know, the keeper, so good on him, you know, for that. So, you know, I like that potential, you know, change. Again, you know, Emmy comes back, who knows how any of that, you know, gets impacted, because that's a lot of those minutes up in smoke all of a sudden. Yeah, I kind of liked how, you know, especially on yesterday, Darren shortened the bench. I think just used the 2 subs, if I remember correctly, right?
I think so.
So he made that one double change, and then he ran with those guys and, you know, trusted them to, you know, be able to see the rest of the game out. Yeah. You know, so, yeah, I like it. Like, not just subbing for the sake of subbing, you know, using them, you know, to fix something, and then, hey, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah, true. Kate?
2 things. One serious and one not. The serious one being, you could tell when the players walked over to Section O how excited the players were to get that win. Both the returning players, you know, who survived that winless streak, but also seeing how excited the new guys were. So seeing that it meant something to them too, even though they hadn't, you know, been part of that streak, that it just meant a lot to the whole team to have that streak broken. So it's good to see that it wasn't just something that was being carried by the guys who actually lived it, but like the whole team was all equally excited about what this meant, you know, to Section O, to the team, to City Stadium at large. So that was really great to see. The less serious one is the laugh out loud moment of the match was when Jermaine Jones decided to try to be a big man and make a 33rd minute substitution down 1-0. I wouldn't even say that Fuego were playing particularly badly. They conceded a goal, which happens in like 33% of all soccer games, is somebody concedes a goal at some point. That they went and scored the equalizer while his chosen substitute was standing there waiting for the board to be lifted to go in. Obviously, he's early into his coaching career and he comes from a storied playing career himself, but I'd watched one of the Prem games. I think it was Aston Villa. They had made an early change because they went down to Brentford, you know, 2-0 early into the second half. And, you know, they made a few changes and it helped them turn the game around. They ended up drawing 3-3. So just seeing someone like Jermaine Jones decide to try to, you know, make this big tactical change only for the guys he actually put on the field with a game plan to execute said game plan and score an equalizing goal while his substitute was standing there waiting to come in, I guess, to make some major tactical shift, this like big brave moment he was making. It just made me laugh because it was sort of like, yeah, sometimes you go down a goal. I don't think you necessarily need to hook somebody 30 minutes into the game because you go down a goal. It just made it. I found that very, very funny. So hopefully I have nothing against him. I wish him the best in his managing career, as long as he always loses to Richmond. But just thought that was that read a little naively to me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. No. Alex from Lee went up there with me and was chatting because we both had our dogs over there in the same session. We were just talking, and he was just like, if you go look at Fuego's bench, like it's small. Like they use all their subs, definitely one in the first half. But he was like, yo, guys are getting ran ragged out there. And he was just saying, you know, like, Jermaine Jones is learning, like, yo, there's a difference between third division Germany and third division U.S. guys. Like, the fitness ain't there. Like, the skill might be, but the fitness not. Like, running guys ragged, you can see that. Like, I think I counted in the first half alone, like, 2-3 guys just falling out, just grabbing their hamstrings or quads. Or like, it's like, oh, they are tired. Not Richmond guys. Richmond guys look kind of fit. So, let's see. Yeah, I mean, for me, overall, I think the course of the two games, like, obviously, the eight goals scored are huge. I think, for me, my one concern is the 4 goals that we've given up in those two games, kind of self-inflicted. Like, I mean, Darwin's goal was – ain't nothing you can do about that. That's just a good goal. But the 3 other ones are a little bit more concerning just because they felt self-inflicted. Like they felt like if we were a little bit more aware or if, you know, a little bit better quality at the moment, it felt like those goals wouldn't have been let in. So if you want to see those get cleared up. I was thinking about this while y'all were talking, but do you think Darren has a good problem on his hands trying to figure out who will be his starting center backs when Audie and Guy comes back healthy, given how good Gifford Garnett has been playing? Like, you know, obviously we just said we want to give the kid a little bit of rest, but we're also saying, like, yo, he needs to be part of the 18. It seems like Darren has a good problem on his hands and not like the problem he had last year with, well, none of my wingers are working, but I know I need 11 players out there, you know?
I think, I think one of the major issues was mentality played a big role in the, you know, they were just absolutely conceding goals left and right. But the bench wasn't deep enough. We didn't have, you know, we couldn't give those players a rest, even for, you know, to get them back on track mentally. Having a deeper bench, having actually choices where you can bring someone in, you can make a change, and the quality won't drop off a cliff, I think is helpful in terms of in terms of game management and player management, which I didn't think he had a lot of options last season.
Yeah. Matt, anything you want to add to that?
No, not really. I mean, I think that's a problem you deal with when the time comes. Like, who knows when they're going to be ready? So. We'll deal with that later. Hopefully it's still, you know, an issue at that point. It's not an obvious, yeah, the guys get in here. We need fresh blood.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's before Griffin's prom night though, so that we don't accidentally we don't have any center backs.
We already got that solved. We're going to tell St. Chris, or wherever school he goes to, you're not having prom. And also let Griffin know, like, prom doesn't matter. Like, it's a matter of what you do after prom, but you've been to a billion dances. Like, you're not missing anything. You'll be fine. You know, so he'll be fine. I know there's also been some chat, Landon Johnson. Me personally, I don't see no problem with Darren not playing him so far right now. Like, you know, it's also part of that process of if you don't need to start them, don't. Like, allow them to learn. And last year we were talking about, you know, him being a little bit too exposed, same with Nick Simmons. Yeah, you know, protect the players where you can and allow them to learn the game from the bench, which is good to see. You might see him coming in soon. Also, did y'all see Arthur after the game? Like, he literally had a good little shine.
No.
Yeah. I saw it, like, on the right. I was like, oh, it kind of got my attention. So I think that's a good way to wrap. Well, not wrap it up, but we'll move on from that. Talking about the game that is coming up, you heard us mention it a little bit while. But the Henry Derby, you know, it's time to get some revenge on those goddamn birds. Last year did not go the way how we wanted it to. And I think that's what I would say. I don't even think the players will have to have it mentioned. You know, multiple players have played in this derby. And I think Richmond will be up for it. Last year didn't go the way we wanted it to, with getting swept for the first time in series history. So I think though we definitely have something to play for. And Fort Madison themselves are not in the best form, even though they had this week off right before the derby, which I'm throwing out conspiracy theorists out there. They lost, what, 2-0 to the Fire, too?
Yep.
Yeah.
What kind of turds losing the Open Cup?
Especially to an MLS Next Pro team. We're supposed to be banded against this, guys. You're not supposed to lose to the Evil Empire. It's like the small Evil Empire loses out to the...
The Evil Empire lost. I don't know what you're going on about. Evil Empire lost.
But they're both the Evil Empire.
That's fair. Can it really, really be an empire if they have nothing in the cabinet?
No, this is also true. Well, they can make, you know, they like to make up their own cups up there as well. So it's fun. But yeah, we got the Henry Derby coming up. It's going to be interesting. Like, it is going to be interesting. I've kept the eye on some of the Pink Team's games. They seem to have problems creating, but, you know, they do have, I'm not going to lie, like, they have some shiny players up there as well. A nice attack with two capable strikers that have caused Richmond some troubles. Stephen Payne, who, yeah, I still can't get over that move. That move is still like, who could I equate it to? Stephen Payne going to Richmond is the equivalent of like, it's not like Carlos Tevez going from Man United to Man City. It's not that bad, but it's up there. It's bad. This would be personally. But yeah, well, how do you guys think the Henry Derby is going to play out between Richmond and Madison?
I think the defense needs to tighten up because, like you mentioned, they do actually have, you know, some proven finishers, and you know, we can't hand wrap them, you know, goals again and expect to get out of there with, you know, a good result. So I think this is one, if you offer me like a 0-0 or a 1-1 right now, it's like, all right, cool. That works, you know, for me for, you know, this point in the season, because that would show, you know, some, you know, defensive advancement, you know, through there. You know, regrettably, they might actually be a decent team. So you know, getting that, you know, away result would be nice. But I haven't paid too much attention to them either, so I'm not going to, you know, pretend like I know all the ins and outs of, you know, what they're looking like this year.
Yeah.
But they tend to start well, and then they get all their hopes up and crater later on. So, unfortunately, we're on the starting well side of things.
Yeah. It feels like a game where Richmond is going to have to, like, because we all know, like, Madison's home field is not up there with City Stadium. I put City Stadium atmosphere up there with anyone. But it's going to be a raucous crowd the first 15 minutes, of course, because they haven't seen their team play in 2 weeks. But it's going to be you have to be aware. I'll put it like that. Like, you can't put yourselves in unnecessary situations and whatnot. Kate, what are your thoughts on the derby coming up?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the stakes for are a bit higher when they play at City. It was tough to watch to have them celebrate, you know, in front of Section O, that sort of thing, sort of the disrespect. So you can take that element out of it, I guess, a little bit. But I would hope they play with a bit more grit and a bit more respect for themselves and for the derby. Last season, all three felt a bit like a capitulation. There wasn't the sort of mindset that I think any of us would have hoped going in, that this result matters more than some of the others, or getting a result in this match matters more than some of the others. So I hope that there's that self-respect for getting a good result against this team matters regardless of what's going on in the rest of the season, and playing lights out for the club and to get a result, whatever means necessary. Sometimes it did not feel like whatever means necessary were employed. So Maxi, I'm not saying to make any decision whatsoever, but if you need to do what you have to do, then do it, Mr. Red Card.
Question. Well, no, we went with the red. No. Has Zaka gotten his yellow card yet?
He got a yellow last match.
No.
No, for next week.
Oh. Has he got his yellow card yet? You know what Dizelle I'm talking about. The one where he just clears somebody out?
Again, if they need to do what they have to do, I don't have a problem with that in this match. I think this match in isolation matters, and I would like to see the players treated that way.
It's but time.
Sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
Zaka, look at me. It's time. Just clear them out. Whoever touches the ball in the midfield, it's the first touch. Clear them out. Just do it. Like, set the tone early and let them know, like, y'all are here. Let them know. Like, you're right. Like, all three games last year, it just felt like this team, like, they went down and it was just like, you know. And I don't want to go through that again. I would love to see this team be able to get that win and bring the trophy back home. Set it so far out of reach, you know. It'd be great. Two wins back-to-back, I felt like does set them up for a good Henny Derby performance. Given we don't know who's back yet, but how did the last two games set them up? Like, I think our perception of it might have been changed with the two back-to-back wins. Like, if this was, you know, an Open Cup win and maybe a draw, does that change the way how we feel going into the Derby, or does the win, like, definitely give us more confidence?
I mean, obviously, gives more confidence. But I also don't think we're going to change the setup at all. I bet we could probably get 10 of the start. I think the question is, are y'all ready to go from the start, or do we see like a Vaughn in there instead?
Yeah. What job does it feel like? Suko kind of lost his spot in the 18. He has to get back into it because it seemed like Vaughn is slightly ahead of him right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I would like, I think it does. The thing that's important to me is number of goals scored, I think, has been huge. The fact that as many players as they have gotten on the score sheet sort of shakes off some of the cobwebs and shakes off some of the lack of confidence around goal scoring. So result aside, I think a lot of players scoring recently is particularly important because goals win games.
Yes.
And so players scoring goals, having the confidence in themselves to score goals, having the confidence to set a teammate up to score a goal, that felt like a major gap last season. So I would love it if this kickstarted our goal scoring for this season in a major way.
Yeah.
Outside of Bill Hart, who was essentially carrying the goal scoring for the first three matches. He had, what, two goals in three matches, and that was one other goal outside of that.
Yeah. Does feel like it. Well, guys, like we said, it's Derby week. Don't wear no pink. Don't wear no blue. It's time. It's time. Let's get these 3 points. Let's get things started. Who knows, man? It's time for us to finally be on the good side of some good results. Matt, Kate, anything else for y'all before we wrap up the show?
Nope.
Oh, this winning thing's pretty cool. Let's do it again.
Yeah, right. Happy pods are the best pods. So, yeah. With that being said, folks. Oh, also, before we wrap up, shout out to Coach Evan Munn. Got engaged. He proposed to his girlfriend on the field. After the game, I know a lot of fans were leaving, but We all heard it. Shouts out to him. Congratulations. I believe it's Evan. But yeah, shouts out to him. Wishing y'all the best going forward, man. And with that being said, as always, guys, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our podcast. Without you, we couldn't do it. And thank you guys so much for hanging out with the Roos. As always, we'll catch you guys next week. Be easy and be safe.